for God's glory. Stewardship is being intentional in every area of our lives. My new show, Chris Brown's True Stewardship, will offer real hope and practical answers to live life with greater intention. Tune in.
Weekday afternoons at 4:30 on WHKW and WHKZ, The Word.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. And it's a live program, and you can give us a call. The telephone lines are open right now. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And let's go ahead and open our program here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you bless the program this evening. Use it for your glory, Lord. We just thank you again for the opportunity you've given us. And we just pray again that we could be a blessing and help and encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people towards Christ, and we just give you the thanks and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, a lot of stuff going on right now, but I'm just trying to get back into the swing of normal life again to a degree. Spent most of last week up in Michigan. My wife and I had our wedding anniversary, so we headed up to Michigan last week, and what a great time. We went up to Mackinac City, if you've ever been up in that part of Michigan, and we drove up and spent one day driving around up on the Upper Peninsula. That's always fun. And then the next day we spent traveling around. We rode the ferry out to Mackinac Island, and we had a great time and just a nice relaxing trip. And then came back and spent some time with some friends and everything. And as I get back and have to get back into real life again, I guess so. But it's been enjoyable. But I want to thank you for listening tonight. And like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And a reminder to you, we are on Facebook, and we're online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can link to our Facebook page. We're at Facebook Live with Pastor Al, and you can find us there. And let's see, I was going to mention something else along with that. And you can check out our previous programs there as well, because of different things going around our church anniversary last week. We had a lot getting ready for that. And then, of course, our anniversary this past week and some other things going on. Haven't uploaded too many programs lately. I got a backlog of programs that I have to get uploaded. This past Friday, those of you that are outside of northeastern Ohio, we have a Friday program every Friday afternoon, 1:30 until 2 o'clock on AM 1220, The Word in northeastern Ohio, out of Independence, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. And then, of course, every Sunday night, in addition to being on 1220, The Word in Independence, we're also on 1440 in Warren, Ohio. And then, of course, we've got Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa, Florida. And so we're certainly glad to be with you folks. And again, glad to have you listening and appreciate your prayers for us. And like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And also mention we're on Periscope. I'm trying to look here. I think we've got Periscope up and running. Got some people visiting on Periscope, and that's a smartphone app. If you've got an Android phone, you can find that at the Google Play Store. And see, I just messed around over here, try and get things set, try not to knock things over too much. But we're certainly glad to have you on Periscope as well. Well, we're going to get into a few things here tonight, and we've got a caller right off the bat, so we'll jump to the phone calls first. And we've got John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you, sir. Hey. I have a real question about, as I read my Bible, and I'm going through my Bible, I'm doing my read the Bible through in a year.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've noticed as I read from the Old Testament to the New Testament, a lot of the things that I read are based on decisions and choices, such as Adam and Eve.
Right.
Made a choice. Because of that choice, sin came into the world, and mm-hmm. of course, consequences. Because my real question is, and I've been reading like crazy, making a choice that I have to make for precedent, how do I biblically decide on the candidates and the issues at hand? Because to be truthful with you, I have absolutely no idea who I'm going to vote for.
Well, that is a very good question, and I like how you led into that, you know, looking at, in particular, the Old Testament, where you had a lot of people who had to make decisions, and you see the choices and all that. And before we get into talking about voting in the presidential election, one of the things that reminds us is that God gave us a free will. And to have a free will, you have to have the ability to make choices. And, you know, whether the choices are good choices or bad choices. And, you know, it's just like I tell people at our church, if you're going to have free will, you have to have the choice to not only to obey, but the choice to disobey, you know, the choice to do, also the choice to not do. Otherwise, you have no choice. It's, you know, so God gives us choices, and he also tries to give us information to help us make the correct choices. And sometimes that information comes perhaps for something that we read in the Bible, sometimes perhaps for talking with other believers, and we pray about something, and God will oftentimes use things to try and help us and guide us. And you're absolutely right. When we look at some of these choices, you know, we don't have a clear-cut example right now, you know, when you look at the candidates, because we know that in the presidential election, it's either going to be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. You know, it's not going to be one of the third party candidates. It's going to be one of those two. And when we look at, let me go to something here in Acts first off, okay? In Acts chapter, let me get turned over here real quick. Acts chapter 7, I believe, or Acts chapter 6, rather. And there's an interesting experience here in Acts chapter 6. And let me just start reading verse number 1. It says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, Is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Now, that's a great guideline right there. You know, would that in this race, that we're looking at, I think if you could find somebody of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that's the person we ought to appoint over this business. But when you're looking between flawed candidates, sometimes you're not able to do this. Let me give you another passage, too, from the Old Testament that gives us some guidelines. And then I want to touch on something to come back to this. But in Exodus chapter 18, this is the other one that I want to mention. Exodus chapter 18, Moses had been leading the Jewish people as he brought them out of Egypt, and he was attending to everything that they had going on. And in verse number 13, Exodus chapter 18, verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou dost to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? All the people stand by thee from morning unto evening. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come to me inquire of the Lord, of God. When they have a matter, they come to me. I judge between one another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." And this is where we get a basis for representational government here. And he says, "Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God, word that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." And then he says this in verse 21, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of the thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and that let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter shall they judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." So he's telling Moses, you can't govern this people all by yourself. You need some other people, and they set up this thing with rulers over tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands, and he gave them advice to choose able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And again, these are the guidelines we, I believe, should be looking for when we are selecting people to represent us at whatever level of government, whether it's the local town council, city council, village council, township trustee, county government, state government, whatever the level is, legislature or judges or governors or whatever it might be, all the way up through the federal level. These are the guidelines that we should have in place. But what do we do? And this is probably where some of your question is, what do we do when neither candidate seems to fill these types of categories, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we have to start looking and thinking, okay, if both candidates don't match up to these types of lists, and there's other places in the Bible that give, you know, some information similar to this. And really the founding fathers, they desired that godly people would be the ones serving in public office. That's what they set the system up for. They used the Bible as the basis of our form of government. And these are some of the things they looked at. So we have a decision to make. One of these two people is going to become president, is going to be elected in the next election. So what are we going to do about it? Well, sometimes you have to take the reverse of this. Which one is the worst? Which one is the least qualified? Which one is the one that is most egregious in terms of these lists here? And vote against that person. You know, sometimes when you vote for one person, you're not voting for them because you like them so much. You're voting for them because you believe that the other one is even worse. And so right, you're trying to choose, in a sense, the lesser of the two evils. But also something else that you have to consider, I believe, is what is the effect of that vote? Let me give you an example. And I'm gonna purposely take an issue, and I'm going to take the opposite side of the issue that, generally speaking, most Bible-believing Christians would take. And I'm just doing it for the sake of argument, okay? This is not my position. Let's say that I was pro-abortion on demand, okay? Now, and I'm doing that one purposely. Let's say that I was pro-abortion on demand, and I'm looking at the two candidates. I know either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is going to be elected president. Well, first case, I would say, what do they feel about abortion? I know from her statements that Hillary Clinton is a very strong proponent of abortion on demand. Now, Donald Trump has, in the last couple of years, taken a pro-life stance, okay? So that right there would give me something to help make my decision. if the abortion issue is important to me, I could look at that and say, well, listen, if I vote for Hillary Clinton, she will further my pro-abortion desires. If I vote for Donald Trump, he will likely hinder my pro-abortion desires. You see why I took the opposite of my opinion there?
Right.
So that it would, so that you could see how that works. Okay. Likewise, if I'm pro-life, which I am, and I look at the two, I would say, well, Hillary Clinton is strongly against the pro-life position. And so electing her, she's going to try to further abortion on demand. I don't want that. Donald Trump may be a flawed candidate, but he's at least said that he's pro-life now. And so I have a better chance of defeating the abortion positions by voting for him. And you say, well, okay, well, I'm not totally sure on that. Well, think about this. The next president is going to appoint one Supreme Court justice right off the bat. Justice Scalia passed away earlier, and so that's an unexpected seat. Right now, the court is lacking one member, and the first thing the next president is going to do is going to appoint somebody to that seat. Now, I have to ask myself, whatever side of the abortion issue I'm on, whether I'm pro-abortion or whether I'm pro-life, I have to say, what kind of judges have these candidates indicated that they will nominate? And Hillary Clinton, we know, will nominate people in the lines of Justice Ginsburg, Justice Sotomayor, Kagan, I think it is. If I got her name right. And Donald Trump has put forward a list of strongly pro-life candidate or people that he would nominate for the Supreme Court. And so I'm just using this issue as one issue. There's other issues, of course. And so I look at that and I think, well, okay, what will affect the Supreme Court? Because not only is Justice Scalia going to be replaced in the first thing when they get into office, but Justice Ginsburg has said that, as indicated, she's going to resign from the court, retire from the court due to age and health reasons. And so probably within the first 100 days, the next president is going to put two Supreme Court justices there. So I have a chance now to affect the court with my vote for the next potentially 30, 40 years. And do I want to vote for somebody or help somebody get into office that's going to put pro-life judges on the court or somebody who's going to put pro-abortion judges on the court? And since Hillary Clinton has indicated her desire to further, you know, the abortion cause and to roll back some of the pro-life gains, we understand that she would put justices on the court that would roll back some of the restrictions on abortion and continue liberalizing abortion on demand, whereas Donald Trump has indicated he will put justices on the court that will take a more strongly pro-life position. And this is important because of this. Abortion in this country was not voted on by any state or federal legislature, and it was not enacted by an executive order. It was foisted on the country through a Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade. And, right. And this applies in several areas. Think of same-sex marriage. It wasn't the vote of any state legislature or federal legislation that gave us same-sex marriage. It wasn't even an executive order that gave us same-sex marriage. It was a decision by the United States Supreme Court. And the next court is going to hear cases relating to some of those issues again. And they're also going to hear cases relating to whether or not a teenage boy can go to school and say, I feel like I am a girl now. I demand the right to use the girls' restroom and to the girls' locker room and to shower with the girls, because to tell me that I can't use their restroom and change in their locker room and shower with them would be to imply that I'm not as much of a girl as they are. And that's what's coming down the pike. There's several cases that have been heard by federal judges that are heading in the direction of the Supreme Court, and all it will take is the right decision by the court to either say that across the land it's now that you cannot allow prevent a teenage boy from going into with the teenage girls and showering with them if he claims to be a girl. So the Supreme Court may very well push that on us, not any legislation, not even an executive order, though the Obama administration did put out a letter to schools saying that they had to do that, but it's been kind of shut down right now by a federal court. That's why this is going to go to the Supreme Court. So if those types of decisions are important to you, you need to consider what kind of judges, you know, either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is going to put on the Supreme Court. And I know we covered a lot there, John, but, you know, we start with the basis of what does the Bible talk about, the type of people we should put there. And if we cannot choose somebody that matches up with one of them, then we try to put the least offensive one on there. You know, we try to put the one on there that hopefully will nominate other people who might be able men, men of truth, things like that, that can make some other decisions. Because, you know, in our form of government, you know, the president is the one that nominates the federal judges and nominates the Supreme Court justices. And that's what has, you know, me concerned. And, you know, I know where I stand on those issues, and I want to do everything I can to help elect a president who will put people on the court that hopefully will render decisions, you know, in cases involving abortion in a pro-life fashion. And you know, you can see where I'm going with that, but
I do.
Yeah. So I don't know if that helps you any, but certainly you need to pray. That's the most important thing. And be aware of not only what you're voting for, but what you're voting against and, you know, what the ramifications are going to be. Somebody put it this way one time on a local talk show host or program one time I was listening to out of the Akron area. And they said this, they said, you know, think about it. If Donald Trump is elected and he really goes off the rails, and we have either a Democrat or Republican Senate, they may very well impeach him. If Hillary Clinton is elected and she goes, you know, crazy in office, it's highly unlikely that either a Democrat or a Republican Senate would impeach her because she's the first woman president. But Donald Trump probably they wouldn't hesitate to impeach. So in that sense, there may be more checks and balances available on him. So that's something to be considered as well. But pray about it. By all means, pray about it. Ask God to direct you. Ask God to help you see what the ramifications of your vote are, votes will be. And it's not just the president. This goes governor races, congressmen, senators, township trustees, all these things. What is going to happen directly from the person you're voting for and the ramifications? What kind of people are they going to surround themselves with? What kind of people are they going to put in place? And those are things that we have to consider when we vote. So, but you got me on a roll there.
Yeah, it just so happens that Acts chapter 6 is my next chapter to read for tomorrow on my Bible reading, so I'll be looking at that extra hard tomorrow.
Yeah, and remember, they were selecting deacons, church leaders there, and we're not electing church leaders, we're electing politicians to political office, And so there's that, you know, the old expression, we're not electing the president of the United or the pastor of the United States, we're electing the president of the United States. And hopefully we'll put somebody in there that's going to be favorable to Christianity, somebody who's going to be favorable to the pro-life positions and pro-family positions. So that's what we need to consider. So.
All right, Pastor, I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you with the question there. So. I want to thank you for that, and pray and let God guide you in your voting.
I will do that.
All right. Well, God bless, and hope you keep listening and call back.
Have a good night. Be safe.
All right. You too. Thanks. God bless. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got just a couple minutes to go, and we've got Barb in West Virginia calling in, and let's get Barb on here. And if need be, Barb, we'll hold you over. Welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Henry's been sick, and I've been kind of sick tonight. But I have a couple things on my mind I wanted to ask you.
All right, and let me just interject real quick. If we get short on time, can you hold over to the second half?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. I'll let you know if we run out of time. So okay. Go ahead.
Henry has kidney stones and gallstones, and they're going to be checking him next week.
All right, and we'll certainly have to have people pray for him.
And then me, my doctor's nurse got my medicine mixed up, and I ended up without my high blood pressure medicine, and my blood pressure's got real high tonight, so going to have to call him in the morning and get, just pray that I make it through the night. But I had two questions.
Uh-huh.
My sister passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
4th of September. And I've been thinking about this. But like I said, I had two things on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is about Jesus with doubting Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, when we go to heaven, are we going to be, I know it says we will be as angels.
Yeah, but Jesus said that in regards to we'll be eternal beings and we will not be procreating.
When Jesus came, oh, wait a minute, I didn't hear it again.
I just said that he was talking, we'd be like the angels in the sense that we're eternal beings. You know, we would not be aging in the sense like we do now, nor would we be marrying and having children, procreating.
Okay. What I was wondering was, would we still be flesh-like since Jesus said, this is me, Thomas, you know, feel my hand? Are we going to be flesh-like?
Or yeah,
are we gonna
that's a great question, Barb, and we'll have to hold over because I got just less than 10 seconds. So if you'll hold with me, we'll hit that one in the second half, and I want all of our listeners to stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286.
Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us, and you can even join in the conversation. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and you can visit us online at livewithpastoral.com. And just a reminder, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're out of the area or even in the area and you want to open your own pizza shop, or maybe you want to add pizza to your existing restaurant, you're looking for a great pizza recipe, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus, and he can help you get started in your own pizza business. It's his recipe. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, and you will love it. And by the way, you can actually find a link to East Coast Pizza on our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Look for the link for East Coast Pizza. It's eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com if you want the direct thing there, eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com, and I encourage you to check that out. All right, well, we're going to get back to a couple of things here, and we have Barb waiting on hold. Barb was talking to us in the last half, and she was asking a question about what I believe we're going to be like in heaven. Is that right, Barb?
Yes, sir, that's it.
All right, would you like to restate that again for us?
Well,
and we'll get that way we can jump back in, because we probably have some new listeners right now, too.
Okay. So. Well, we know that the Bible says we'll be as angels. But then when Jesus came back, he told Thomas to touch him, that
right.
it was him. He was in the flesh, or whether it was a fleshly being. Person, or I'm not quite sure how to put it, but he was in the flesh.
Right, I mean, right.
Not like we're in the flesh now.
Yeah, and in fact, he describes it as flesh and bone. You know, usually we describe ourselves as flesh and blood, and there's some discussion and some speculation.
I'll just hang up and listen to you.
Yeah, okay. Well, and we'll try and touch on this a little bit here.
Thank you.
You can read in John chapter 20, and also I want to mention, too, pray for Barb's husband, Henry. She asked for prayer for him. Henry's struggling with some kidney stones, and she also prayed for Barb as well. She's having some issues with her medication and high blood pressure. So pray for Barb and Henry that God would touch them and strengthen them and heal them. And certainly God knows the needs that are there. But in John chapter 20, this is an interesting situation here, because it says in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and this was after Jesus rose from the dead, after the resurrection, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now, this is interesting in of itself. The doors were shut. The doors were locked, we read in the other Gospels. And Jesus appears there in the midst of them. And there's no account of the doors that are opened. In fact, over in Luke's Gospel, he puts it this way, Luke chapter 24. In verse number 36, it says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do the thoughts do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet, and while they yet believed not for joy, I mean, they thought this is just too good to be true. He says, and wondering, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And so in this particular case, Luke recounts this, says Jesus just suddenly was there. So we know in the resurrection body that Jesus had, he had the ability to just appear there in this locked room. And also, he makes it a very strong point here that he has flesh and bone. And he's not just a ghost or a spirit that's standing there in their midst. He says that a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And they came up, they actually touched him. They could feel, you know, they could shake his hand, they could hug him, they could feel the nail prints in his hands. Now see, Thomas was not there. And this is what Barb was asking about. Thomas was not there when this took place the first time. And John points that out in the Gospel of John chapter 20. And it says that while he was there, verse 24, he departed. And then verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." Now, Thomas hadn't seen him yet. And the other disciples said, "Listen, Thomas, he was here. He really was." And Thomas wasn't there, hadn't seen it. He comes in after Jesus is gone, and he says this, they say, "We have seen the Lord," but he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hand, see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And it says, "And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut." So Jesus appears again with the door shut, "and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And that would be us. And we have a special blessing. I've not seen the risen Christ, but I believe that he rose. And here it's very clear that he has a body. He has a physical body. And that physical body that he has, he's able to be touched. He's able to be handled. And he was able to eat. He consumed a piece of fish. He consumed a piece of honeycomb. And it's very clear that in the resurrection, we have a physical body. Now, that goes back to what we've talked about before on the way that we were created in the image of God. And if you go back to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, God has created the heavens and the earth. And he's put the plants in the earth and the birds and the fish and the animals and stuff in the earth. And then it says here in Genesis chapter 1 in verse number 26, "And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So created man his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." So human beings are in the image of God. Now, it's kind of interesting because it says that here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, there's the plural, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And then the singular in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he, them. So it's singular, and that reflects the plural nature of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and yet the singularity of God, one God, but in three persons. And so when we read of the creation of Adam in Genesis chapter 2, here's the interesting thing. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's the first thing that he did. He formed Adam's physical body. And then it says, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so the breath, that's the spirit. Breath and spirit are synonymous words, or terms. And so now we have a body, we have a spirit. And then it says, and man became a living soul. And that's the soul that we have. We have a body, we have a spirit, and we have a soul. And if you want to look at that as an analogy, that's analogous of God in the sense that God is a triune being. He's one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, if you want to use that terminology. Either one's acceptable. And here's the thing. Breath and spirit are the same, so the breath of life, that's the spirit, that's analogous to God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. He formed man of the dust of the ground, that's the physical body. Well, God manifests himself in his universe, in the physical world, in the person of God the Son, which of course was manifested as Jesus Christ in these latter days, the Bible says. So God the Son would compare to the physical body of Adam. God the Holy Spirit would compare to the breath of life or the spirit of in a man. And that leaves one thing left. That's the soul. He became a living soul. And the soul would have to do with your personality, your will, your intellect, your emotion, and decision-making, that sort of thing. And that would correspond to God the Father. And there's some great things that you can learn from that. Jesus was subject to the Father, and that shows us that our flesh should be subject to our soul, not the other way around. You should make the decisions what you're going to do. This morning, I was tired. Had a busy day yesterday, busy week last week. I'm not a morning person. In the morning, I don't like to get up. I like to turn the alarm off. I wanted to go back to sleep. My flesh said, go back to sleep. Sleep for another couple of hours. I had a decision to make. That's where the soul, the personality, the decision-making weighs in and says, listen, you've got to go to church. You have responsibilities. You're the pastor. You need to be there. You can't not show up, just sleep in, and then expect everybody else to not sleep in either if you're going to sleep in. So, you know, I had a decision to make. I couldn't call everybody and say, we're going to start church at 10 o'clock instead of, or I'm sorry, at 2 o'clock rather than 10 o'clock. That wouldn't have worked. And besides, I'd already been up anyways making all the phone calls, so I might as well get up. So I had to overrule my flesh and keep my flesh in subjection so that my flesh would do what my soul told it to do. And that's analogous. You can see where Jesus said, you know, basically, when he was in the incarnation, he said that what the Father tells him to do, that's what he does. What the Father tells him to say, that's what he says. And so we have to have that right perspective there. The flesh should be in subjection to the mind or the soul. And then for the believer, you should be led by the Spirit that has a communication with God himself through his Spirit. And so we have that there. And so when Jesus rose in the resurrected body, he gave us a picture of what we're going to look like in the resurrection. A resurrected body, a body of flesh and bone, a body that can consume food, a body that can interact with people. We can, you know, shake hands with somebody, hug somebody, enjoy eating some food and things of that nature. And that's the flesh that, or the body of flesh and bone that we will have. But we also have a soul and a spirit that will be in that body. You say, well, where was the soul and spirit of Jesus? We see the body. Well, the Bible says, in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. So Father, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit dwelt in him bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father, because he's God. And if I see somebody, I've seen that person. You know, your soul isn't parading around for everybody to see. Your body is what everybody sees. But your soul controls the body, so hopefully, you know, we see how you think and how you believe and things like that by what you see. So Thomas wanted to see Jesus before he would believe. And Barb had the question there earlier what will it be like in heaven? It will be like the angels. They had a physical presence. You know, the angels had a presence in heaven, but we'll also be like the angels in that we never age, we never die, an eternal body. And so we will have that. We will know, we will be known. We will be able to interact with people. We'll be able to enjoy things. The Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19. The Bible talks about the millennial kingdom where Jesus rules over the earth. And it talks about people eating fish, people eating fruits from the trees that grow there. We also see the holy city, the New Jerusalem, there in the book of Revelation as well, coming down from God out of heaven. And in it, there are trees that bear fruits that people eat. So we'll be enjoying these things. And of course, we'll have a mind, we'll have the soul, and the ability to think and to reason and all of these things in that glorified body, the ability to explore God's creation, all these things that we'll have going for us. And it'll be a wonderful time. But a key, of course, is putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. When we confess our sin, we believe that Jesus paid for our sin as he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, and we trust him as our Savior. And God gives us a new spirit because in our spirit is dead, cut off from fellowship with God. And in a new spirit, it's a new creature in Christ where we have relationship with God, fellowship with God, and through our new spirit, we can interact with God, and God can lead us and guide us, and hopefully then we'll make the right decisions, and then one day we'll be delivered from this old body. First Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible talks about in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this corruptible puts on incorruption, this mortal puts on immortality, and it's a yet future event. But it's a body of flesh and bone, inhabited. We have body, soul, and spirit, and we'll be complete once more. Right now, the unsaved people are incomplete in that they are dead in their spirit. They're incomplete in that they have sin-tainted flesh. The flesh is where the sin nature resides. And people who put their faith in Christ as their Savior, their sins are forgiven. They have a new spirit, but still incomplete. We're still incomplete because we're still in the body of this flesh with its sin nature. And so we still stumble, we still fall, we still succumb to the flesh. We still do things that we ought not to do. We still don't do things that we ought to do. There's sins of omission, sins of commission. And so one of these days, we'll be delivered from, as Paul puts it, this body, the body of this death, and we'll receive that new body, and we will be complete in Christ, body, soul, and spirit, without the taint of sin, with a living spirit that has a relationship with God, and we'll no longer be taken captive by the sin nature that's in our flesh. I'm not going to take the time to read through it right at the moment, but give you a homework assignment, I guess, in a sense, or a study that you can look at. Go to Romans chapter 7 and read the last half of the chapter there, so starting from about chapter 15 on, and you'll understand a little bit more what I'm talking about. Paul goes through his lamentation about doing things that he knows that he shouldn't do and not doing things that he should do because of his sin nature, and looking forward to being delivered from, as he puts it, the body of this death. And that only happens through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a great thing to spend some time on and study on. Well, I should give out that phone number again here. We've got 5 minutes or so left in the program, but we can still get you on if you've got another question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here this evening. And I apologize if you were listening to Facebook. My phone shut down because it overheated. And or not Facebook, Periscope. My phone shut down because it overheated, and it shut down Periscope, I guess, at some point there if you were listening. But we're hopefully, pray for us, we'll get that a little better arrangement with that someday in the future. And I do remind you, you can check us out on livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al. Wanted to share something else here real quick, too, as we're getting into this, and I was reading something here, and this reflects something that I was talking to somebody after church about, and I want to turn over to Psalm 37 here, real quick. Psalm 37, let me just get turned over here, and give me a moment here, and this is an article I was reading by Donna Wasson. I haven't had a chance to read the entire article, but it was called "Their Day Is Coming and Justice Will Be Served." I found this at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. And in Psalm 37, here starting in verse number 1, the Bible says this. And I think this is good to keep in mind when we look at things. It just seems like evil is getting the upper hand all around us, and it can get overwhelming. But Psalm 37 says this, starting verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." It continues on there, but this is a great psalm. And I remember preaching through this psalm several months ago, and it's interesting that nearly every verse in this psalm has some kind of a promise or something here, or at least something promising. But there's also a number of things, if you noticed, and I had underlined this in this psalm, Psalm 37, and let me just read some parts that I underlined here. And it's, "Fret not, trust in the Lord, do good, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, fret not thyself, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself." Doesn't that sound encouraging right there? And that's an encouraging psalm. That's a psalm to study. We're going to try and squeeze in here. Got about 2 minutes or so left, I think, or 1 minute left. We've got a caller calling in. If we can get them up here real quick, we'll take them real quick and see what happens. But we'll see. Go ahead. We'll get you on there. Constance, calling in, and welcome. We got to go quick.
Yes, I was just going to mention that Job had a vision of himself when he said, I saw on the last day, I will see him in this body.
Yes.
So, yes. So
yes, that's very good. And he said, with mine own eyes, remember?
Yes.
Remember, he said, though the worms destroy this body, with my own eyes I will see him.
Yes. Exactly.
Exactly. And that was a tremendous statement, confidence in the resurrection that we were talking about earlier, the new body. Constance, I want to thank you for that. We're out of time here pretty much, but do thank you for that call. Hope you'll call back again. And I do want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And again, pray for us. People ask, what can we do to help you out with your program? And I tell people, the number one thing you can do is pray for us. Without the prayers of God's people, we wouldn't be able to keep doing what we're doing. Pray for us. and keep listening. Thanks, and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views claim...